Well, folks, you know what that sound means. Arthur, what does that sound mean?
It's time for Everything Under the Sun.
Yes, it's time for Everything Under the Sun, the Soprous Sun's weekly radio program, right here on KDNK, the best music station or radio station in the world. I'm your host today, James Steinler, and I'm with our co-host.
I'm Arthur.
Arthur, thanks so much for being here again.
You're
becoming a regular voice on Everything Under the Sun.
I know, I'm so lucky.
We got to get you in for some Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program shows, too.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. This has been really, really fun. Thank you, Azzy App.
Yeah. Shout out to Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, the greatest youth radio program in the world. So this week, don't have my paper in front of me, but we'll be covering the page 4 story of this week's Soprous Sun. We'll be highlighting that story. It's Counting the Bees, which seems like it'd be a really hard job. Thank you. Counting the Bees, a glimpse into a Colorado bee survey. The article on page 4 again was written by Hector Sales Gallegos, who's a contributor for Sol del Valle, but also writes in English for the Soprous Sun. So we'll be highlighting this story today during our show, and we should have on the line Jake. Are you there, Jake?
Yeah, I'm here. How's it going?
Beautiful. You're coming in loud and clear. Doing really well. And Jake, just so I don't butcher it right off the bat, can you pronounce your last name for our listeners?
Yeah, my last name is Gottschalk.
Gottschalk. Just how it sounds, yeah. Really, or just how it reads.
Right.
Well, thanks so much, Jake, for joining us today on Everything Under the Sun.
Thanks for letting me be here.
Absolutely. So it sounds like a lot goes into a bee survey. It also sounds like a lot of fun. You get to go and catch bugs, kind of like when you were a kid.
Right. Yeah. No, it's great. You know, you go out to a meadow and, you know, you're walking around for about 45 minutes, sometimes longer. A lot of times longer if there's a lot of bees, and just catching stuff, throwing it in vials, having a good time.
That's fantastic. Do you often do it solo, or are you with others?
So you can do these surveys you can do them solo, you can do them with groups of, you know, 4 or 5, and kind of anywhere in between. But it just it definitely takes a lot longer if you're going solo. You need to put in 45 minutes of search time. And so walking around for 45 minutes, if you're not finding bees, can be long, in 100 meter by 100 meter square. If you've got like 3 people, you know, that you cut that time into thirds. So, 15 minutes of bee catching fun, and then you're all finished and can move on to the next one. But
okay, cool. Well, I want to get into the nitty gritty a little bit more about, bee surveys and what those are. But first let's hear a little bit about you.
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada, you know, kind of normal suburban neighborhood. But my family went up to our grandpa's cabin in eastern Idaho in the summers just to escape the heat. And he had a few acres that was like forested and fields. And so I was, you know, running around catching bugs, looking at, you know, deer that were coming in. And then I ended up going to school in Utah State for forestry and for statistics. And then, you know, after that, took a job with the Fish and Wildlife Service in Alaska, working on actually fish passage. But that's not, you know, wasn't my passion. Definitely more excited about plants and bugs and things of that nature. So moved down to Grand Junction, Colorado, to work on rare plants for the feds, and some pollinators. And then, this new program at CPW opened up, and I was able to, you know, move into something really exciting, which is, all this pollinator work and then some rare plant work as well.
Wow. That is so cool. So you've always liked chasing bugs since you were a kid.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's like we had butterfly nets when we were growing up, and so you'd catch like tiger swallowtails. They're those big yellow and black butterflies that'll fly around, and bees and beetles. And I remember like we had like this small cage that you could like put them into, like look at them for a couple of minutes and let them go. But yeah, it's always been fun. I mean, I feel like every kid loves chasing bugs. Every kid's curious about it. So.
And you also went on to study that interest in school, it sounds like.
Yeah. So forestry really encompassed, it was forest ecology, I guess. So it really encompasses, you know, how pollinators and how plants and forests and kind of these ecosystems come together. And everything's such a patchwork. I mean, if you think about the forest near Carbondale, like you've got, you know, forests across Mount Soperus, but they're interspersed with meadows and sagebrush steppe. And so really thinking about how those landscapes kind of intertwine and everything in them.
Hmm. And that's cool that you worked, and was it for U.S. Fish and Wildlife when you were up in Alaska?
Yeah. So U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which kind of manages the Endangered Species Act. So worked on endangered species up there and then endangered species down here in Grand Junction as well.
Very cool. I think I was confused because when I was doing a little sleuthing of my own after reading Hector's article, I saw that I think like LinkedIn or something said that you were with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So I asked Heck, I was like, is he with U.S. Fish and Wildlife? He's like, no, he's with CPW now. So
right. Yeah, it was a quick change. I've only been with CPW for the past about month or so. So I'm really excited to be here and into this position and working on stuff that I'm really passionate about.
Cool. And what is your title at CPW?
Yeah, it's a long one.
It is a long one.
I'm the invertebrate and rare plant field biologist for the western side of the state. So roughly the continental divide. I cover all the areas kind of west of that for both invertebrates, which, you know, means bees and beetles and butterflies, spiders, all to bugs and stuff. And then also our kind of rare plants, so species that just have, you know, a lot of them don't occur anywhere else but Colorado.
Hmm. That is, and so is this position that you have and the department that you're working in, did you say it was a new department within CPW?
Yeah, so CPW, thanks to some House legislature from, like some state legislature from, I think a year ago, we were given the authority at CPW to kind of study invertebrates and rare plants and put them on the same level as some of our vertebrate species. So like, you know, your deer, your sage grouse, that sort of thing. And so our team is finally coming on. I think our last person's coming on in September. And so there are five of us working on it across the state. And, you know, really excited to be a part of a new team. I think it's a really cool growth opportunity for the state.
Very cool. Arthur, did you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask. So after reading the article, I saw a portion that was about how not only planting flowers in your yards, in your gardens, etc., not only that being helpful, but also leaving wood piles and leaf litter in their yards. And I was really curious, how does that affect bumblebees?
Yeah, so leaf litter and kind of wood piles like that, bumblebees have a pretty... So if you think about like a traditional honeybee and their hive, you know, a lot of times those hives over winter or kind of otherwise stay put year after year. But bumblebees are different. So in the winter, the queens are solitary. So, you know, the kind of foundational member of the hive is solitary and hibernates in wood piles, hibernates in like rodent holes and things of that nature, leaf litter. And then in the spring goes searching for early season flowers to pollinate and kind of give energy to her and then her, like the eggs that she's laying. So they, like every year, you know, these queens are putting together a new hive. And they need that area to both hibernate and then also to find a place to kind of put that nest or hive in the first place. And leaf litter and wood piles, like woody debris, are really great spots for that. And so keeping leaf litter or woody debris kind of, you know, not raking up your leaves in the fall, for example, or you know, kind of minimally raking,
right,
can really help bumblebees and then also other pollinators and other insects that kind of use that leaf layer as insulation in the winter.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask, of course, you know, honeybees aren't the only pollinators. And I wanted to ask, like, do you work with any other pollinating insects, or are there any you think people aren't aware of that you think are really important, especially, you know, in Colorado and in this valley?
Right. I mean, there's so many pollinating insects. We're lucky to have kind of authority over all of them. But like, so there are 25 bumblebee species in Colorado, and that's like a pretty high number. Like we're pretty diverse for bumblebee species. But there's 1,000 species of bees in Colorado. Many of those are solitary, or just kind of otherwise like they're just not super well known. And so I think a lot of those pollinators aren't known a lot about. We don't know a lot about them even. The experts don't know a lot about them. And so I think trying to learn more about those and trying to, you know, have some of these kind of broad scale conservation measures, like, you know, keeping that leaf litter, like having pollinator gardens, and that sort of thing, I think is really important. But yeah, we cover butterflies and moths. You know, moths are huge pollinators that people don't really think about.
Oh yeah.
And you know, there's also some flies that pollinate. So there's just kind of all sorts of pollinators that we don't know a ton about, but that, you know, some of these good actions for bumblebees are going to be good actions for all of them.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. And here in Carbondale, I know that a lot of people are doing their part. We just had a article actually last week about the pollinator garden at the historical Thompson House here in Carbondale, which was put into place, I think, last year. There was some turf removal that was done, and then a pollinator garden was put in its place to attract more pollinators and to give them that extra pollen that they could seek. And then also Carbondale, as part of the in the bee friendly program, they pushed the turf removal program through the state that was offering some compensation for removing your turf and then putting in more pollinator friendly replacement gardens.
Right. And yeah, that's fantastic, because I mean, you know, turf is great for folks to walk around on and use, but it just doesn't provide quite as many floral resources in comparison to like a pollinator garden, which, you know, you can have flowers in the early season for the queens and then flowers, you know, through the season to just kind of keep them sustaining and building those hives. And I think that in urban areas especially is huge for kind of maintaining some connections for bumblebees, especially with Carbondale being so close to so many public lands and native plants and kind of intact ecosystems. It really, it's a helpful kind of interface for some of those pollinators to be able to tap into kind of both of those areas.
Well, that is really good to know, and it just speaks to the importance of bee friendly and those kinds of initiatives around here. For our listeners, you are tuned in to Everything Under the Sun, the Sopra Sun's weekly radio program here on KDNK. We are speaking with Mr. Jake Gottschalk from the Colorado Parks and Wildlife. He is their new Western Invertebrate and Rare Plant Biologist. And regarding bee surveys and the importance of bees and keeping track of them, we're a little bit over halfway past our show. So, my next question, for you, Jake, is, can you describe what a bee survey is, how common they are, and why they're important?
Yeah. So, the bee surveys that we're conducting are based on the Bumblebee Atlas, kind of protocol. And so the Bumblebee Atlas is a project that has been worked on by the Xerxes Society for Invertebrate Conservation. And so those folks are concerned about invertebrates and bees, you know, across the country. So the Bumblebee Atlas is a community science project to kind of understand, hey, you know, where are the bees? How often are they occurring? What species are we seeing? And, you know, in the future, hey, are these trends changing? And the community science piece is really cool. But that means that a bee survey is, you know, going out to an area for a set amount of time in a set kind of area. For this, it's 100 meters by 100 meters. So think, you know, running a 100-yard dash in both directions and then covering that whole area just methodically looking for bees. And catching every bee that you see, you know, especially bumblebees, and we put them into a vial, which and put them on ice. That chills them out so that we can take pictures of them.
Literally chills them out.
So that we can literally chills them
nice,
out.
Nice, nice.
And that's helpful because, you know, we got to be able to tell, hey, who is this? And some of these bees are hard to identify. You know, you're taking like 6 pictures of every bee. My camera roll on my phone is just full of bee mug shots from just different angles to tell what these bees are. But, you know, and we do these, we want to do at least 2 bee surveys in every grid cell across Colorado. And a grid cell is just like it's a set distance. So there's a grid cell for Carbondale, but I think there's like 60 across the state or 100 across the state. But, you know, we can always have more surveys in a grid cell, and it kind of helps us understand, you know, where the bees are and what they're doing. And so I was doing some of those in the valley. And then I've done them, you know, across the Uncompahgre Plateau and over in Silverton, down in Durango, like all of these kind of places, just to understand what's going on.
And so you get to do this through your work. However, Bumblebee Atlas, if I'm not mistaken, which is part of the Xerxes Society Invertebrate Conservation Project. They also recruit volunteers to help with these surveys. Is that right? Or can you speak to that?
Definitely. Yeah. So, CPW, you know, we helped fund some of that work, and now we have this project. But I mean, really, the Bumblebee Atlas in Colorado works because of the volunteers going to these different areas, going to areas in their communities that they know have a lot of these floral resources, and, you know, doing that work. And so it's pretty easy to get involved with. You can look up Bumblebee Atlas on Google, and you can adopt a grid cell. And by adopting a grid cell, you basically say, hey, I'm going to do 2 surveys within this, you know, big area. So you find your, you know, your local area that you know has those floral resources, has flowers at some point in the summer. And you go and conduct a survey. You don't have to know how to identify bumblebees. They're pretty, like, to a species level. You have to identify to the fact that it's a bumblebee, but anybody can do that part. It's, you know, they're fuzzy. They fly real goofy. And so it's not hard work. And then you just submit those pictures to Bumblebee Atlas. Someone helps identify those bees, and it helps, you know, paint a picture across Colorado. So in my role, we're trying to finish out some of the grid cells that haven't been adopted by folks. Those are just, you know, in areas that are not as covered. Carbondale, of course, is covered by excited volunteers, but one, you can always do more surveys, and then two, if people are planning trips to different parts of Colorado, they can always look at that grid cell and say, hey, if this isn't adopted, I could be the one to do that and to kind of contribute to science, and so that we can paint a picture across the range.
Cool. Well, I'd say you must get very close with these bees. Like, I'm just looking at this photo that you provided for the article. And you got a great photo. You could really see, like, the fuzziness. I'm assuming this was a bumblebee?
Yeah, that's a bumblebee. Okay. I believe it's a worker bee. Yeah, you get close, and sometimes that means, you know, when you're catching them, you're putting them into a vial, which means that you're they're getting real close to your fingers. But they're pretty docile, and you know, sometimes you get stung for things like this, and it's not a huge deal.
Okay. What is the difference between bumblebees, honeybees, and that whole area of fuzzy guys that make honey?
Right. So they're just basically like different. They're different species. So mm-hmm. bumblebees are all in the genus Bombus, and which is a super fun genus name. And then honeybees are in a just a different genus, and they are from Europe, so they're kind of imported bees compared to our native bees. But there's not a huge difference in terms of, like, they both serve roles as pollinators. I think us at CPW are very focused on bumblebees because they're native species or some of our other native species. So honeybees can be great for agriculture and, you know, good tools for learning, but ultimately, like, sometimes pose problems for our native bees by competing for resources. So
right.
We're focusing on those honey or on the bumblebees.
Yeah, okay. More flowers.
Yeah.
We need more flowers.
So we only have a few more minutes left. Let's get in there real quick. What is the state of the bees right now? It sounds a little dismal.
Yeah. So, you know, our native bee species are not doing great. We don't know a lot about, you know, many of them, but at least for bumblebees, they are declining. One of the native bees here, the western bumblebee, Bombus occidentalis, it's had a 93% decline across the range, and it's a wide-ranging species, so that's a big decline, and that's in 20 years. Many of our bee species are facing Endangered Species Act listings or have been petitioned for listing. And so it's really important to do what we can to, you know, protect those and kind of reverse some of those trends because they are not, they're not great trends. I wish it was rosier than it is.
Yeah, I know.
Well, yeah, that is unfortunate. Are other invertebrates in as precarious of a situation here in Colorado?
I would say so. A lot of times, invertebrates worldwide have been declining due to both land development and pesticide use are kind of the primary causes that folks are focusing on. Land development, just, you know, getting rid of habitat for some of these bees and for other invertebrates, and then pesticides kind of killing indiscriminately. And there are agricultural pests that we're worried about, but some of these pesticides just kill invertebrates broadly, and that can be an issue for, you know, pollinators who are going to be pollinating those food crops that we eat as well. So,
well, we have less than 2 minutes left. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I would say again, just thank you to all the volunteers at Bumblebee Atlas. And the folks at Xerxes, they're doing great work, and I was happy to, you know, be able to hop into this role and help them out and kind of get started at CPW. But if you're interested in volunteering, then go out and adopt a grid cell or even take pictures of bumblebees, and you can submit them to Bumblebee Watch, which is also run by the Bumblebee Atlas. And so any picture you take, you can submit it. We identify the species, and that helps people know, you know, that distribution of our species. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I could think of a lot of people here in Carbondale who might be interested. We have a whole bee, a lot of people who are interested in protecting the bees. So,
definitely.
Yeah, and I have a feeling they might be calling you to just pick your brain, Jay.
Sounds great.
But yeah, folks, and if you are interested in becoming a volunteer and helping out with this effort for surveying the bees, go to bumblebeeatlas.org. Jake, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. And thank you guys for listening.
Thanks, y'all. It was great.
It was super great. Thank you, Jake. Arthur, thank you so much. Stay tuned for Regional Roundup, everyone. Have a great Thursday.